Access and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's bringing back a hallmark of his first administration and imposing a travel ban. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
The president's proclamation fully restricts the entry of nationals from 12 countries, including Libya, Sudan, and Yemen. It partially restricts entry of people from 7 countries, including Cuba and Venezuela.
The Colorado terror suspect accused of Sunday's firebomb attack that injured 15 people, rallying support of Israeli hostages, is headed to court.
Mohammed Soleiman will be in front of a judge today for the official filing of more than 40 state charges, including attempted murder. He has not yet entered a plea.
CBS's Omar Villafranca from Boulder. Israel says it's recovered the bodies of 2 Israeli Americans in southern Gaza. The BBC's Barbara Plett Usher.
They were killed at their kibbutz during the October 7th attack by a Palestinian militant group that carried out the attack alongside Hamas.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. We've all seen beaches close because of icky green algae. In central Wisconsin, they're testing a way to restore lakes to their natural beauty without the use of chemicals. The test started about a year and a half ago in the marina on Lake Arrowhead in Adams County. Carl Hasdahl, who is now the Rome Town Board chairperson, said within 67 days, the amount of muck on the bottom of the marina had been reduced by a foot.
The clarity of the water went from 8 inches to 3 feet.
The process uses Mollier nanobubble technology to deliver oxygen throughout the depth of the water. This includes the water at the sediment layer.
And it'll change the sediment basically from anaerobic to aerobic, allowing the good bacteria to overtake the bad bacteria.
Anaerobic conditions, which means without oxygen, can lead to an overgrowth of algae. By shifting conditions to aerobic near the sediment layer, this addition of oxygen stimulates and accelerates the good bacteria to break down organic muck more efficiently. Right now, the Wisconsin DNR is allowing the Tri-Lakes region to do a 10% test on Lake Camelot. They want to be sure having these units inject nanobubbles into the lakes isn't going to hurt the lakes or their inhabitants. Once the DNR is satisfied by the data, the units will eventually be installed on all 3 lakes.
We are basically spearheading this for the state of Wisconsin. We have about 200 lake districts in the state, and I've got 30 of them in the wings waiting to see the results here so they can start pushing it as well.
Property owners say they've seen many attempts to rid the lakes of algae. One owner stated there's Band-Aids and there's cures. Hasdahl replied, this is a cure.
You're going to see a lot of this happening over the next couple of years because it's a solution. It's not a Band-Aid. And this will help us restore the lakes back to what they should be.
I'm Alyssa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have the day off before opening a weekend series tomorrow night in Milwaukee against the San Diego Padres. The Brewers beating the Reds yesterday 9-1 at Great American Ballpark thanks to home runs from Jackson Churio, Isaac Collins, and Daz Cameron, whose father Mike played for the crew in 2009. What has Daz learned from his dad?
Stay within the moment and understand that there are going to be times where we're going to win. Sometimes we're going to lose and just continue to, be prepared.
NFL, the Packers center Elton Jenkins has been holding out for a new contract. What about Zach Tom, the starting right tackle? Asked why he's reported to OTAs.
I don't really think it'll do me any good to sit out. I'm trying not to worry about the contract situation. I'm just trying to do what's best for the team. And being here with the guys, I think that's worth a lot more than the contract situation will take care of itself.
That's Packers right tackle Zach Tom with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly to mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
The show kicks off with Congressman Mark Pocan, who went toe-to-toe against Russell Vogt, head of the OMB, and ate his lunch. Don't miss our chat.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, welcome back. It is 7:06 now. Welcome back up north on this Thursday morning, June 5th. Nice to have you along here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan a little bit later on this hour, talking about the big bloated boondoggle of Donald Trump and House Republicans, some of whom are now expressing remorse, saying they didn't know exactly what was in the bill that they were voting for, which is what happens when you don't actually want to follow the usual process of passing a bill the way we all learned on Schoolhouse Rock, which includes talking to one another, reading the bill, things like that. So we'll talk to the good congressman about that coming up in just a bit. And then later on, we will talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO to see what he's covering up in the Wausau area. Sean O'Malley will be here to talk about money and markets, especially the newest Trump tariff out there, tariffs on aluminum and on imported beer. And, of course, the aluminum goes into cans, and so even if you're a domestic beer drinker, if you're a beer drinker, Donald Trump just jacked up your prices, and it's going to do so much more damage to people who work in industries that rely on, you know, food and beverages than anything it might do for, you know, U.S. steel and aluminum production. But that's what we're living in right now. Let's see, we've got Brittany Merlot off today. We hope to have her back tomorrow because she would be the first one to wish Rob from Tigerton a happy birthday. So Parker Olson and I will have to do it instead. Rob, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Rob.
He says that in Tigerton, it is sunny and 50 degrees. He says, today is my birthday, and I've got lawns to mow today. Yesterday I did 4 yards. I mowed 12 lawns total. And he said he also wanted to mention that last night was the 49th anniversary of the greatest game in NBA Finals history when the Boston Celtics defeated the Phoenix Suns 128-126 in triple overtime to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. And let's see, a few days later, I always remember Guard Heard from Phoenix hitting a buzzer beater at the end of the second overtime. And he says, thank you very much for the birthday wishes. So, and look at that, Tony wishing a happy birthday to Rob on YouTube as well. So we're just turning this into a one big Rob birthday party.
Yeah, he's a celebrity. We got to celebrate. Yeah,
I know, as it should be. I suppose we could give people a chance to win some stuff. What do you think?
That's a good idea. I like winning stuff.
Okay, well, I'm all in favor of stuff as well. So that takes us to the Scani Summer Text to Win contest, done statewide across the network 4 times a day. Each day or each one of these hourly contests 4 times during the day, you can win either $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets, nice club-level tickets. And let's see, we got each entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, which includes a Wisconsin Dells getaway or a Door County getaway with some gas money to get you there. Each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text us through the Civic Media app before the end of the hour. But if you don't have the app, download it in the usual places, Apple, Google. Go to one of the stations on the app, okay? And then we give you the keyword, and you text that puppy in, and you are in the running for a prize. He said, scrolling down to see, what is today's prize? Today's prize is a pair of Brewers tickets this hour if you text this keyword before the end of the hour. ROAD. R-O-A-D. Text ROAD through the Civic Media app to one of the stations on that app by the end of the hour. You're in the running for a pair of Brewers tickets. And again, you will also be entered into the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a Wisconsin Dells area getaway or a Door County getaway. If you want to see the complete contest rules, head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And again, you will have new chances to play with new keywords at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. So there you go. The Pisconi Summer Text to Win contest. The keyword is ROAD, R-O-A-D. Text that to us by the end of an hour, and we could make you the winner of Brewers tickets and maybe a big grand prize drawing as well. So we will be talking to the congressman in just a sec here about what's happening in D.C. with the big bloated boondoggle that President Trump is trying to pass. And if you missed it last hour, we talked a bit about the developments closer to home where, again, Republicans are just trying to ram through whatever they want without having to actually negotiate. But before I give you the update on what's happening in Madison, I want to say with great happiness that the story I'm reading from here in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is from Jesse O'Point. And it is just wonderful to see her name there again. She'd been out with a health concern for quite some time and put up a post yesterday about being back and thanking people for expressing their concern. And I have definitely missed her writing there. And it's great to see her back writing for the Journal Sentinel. And it's where I again make that pitch to you that it's great to have free stuff. All right, TV, local radio, Up North News. We've never had a paywall. We never will have a paywall. Other places that do have a paywall and are worth subscribing to, you should subscribe to. And you should do that for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if only for Jesse O'Point and Molly Beck and the rest of the politics team that writes articles. So having said that and welcome Jesse back, she's the one that wrote the article for them about how months of budget negotiations have fallen apart. Republicans walked away from the negotiating table, and it was pretty easy to see this coming because, again, we've got Republicans both in D.C. and in Madison who are looking to get everything that they want and will do everything possible not to allow their enemy, as they see Democrats, to get any kind of a win. If you'll recall in the last budget, Republicans wanted a great big tax cut for the highest brackets, and Governor Evers, of course, vetoed it. And eventually he signed a budget with some partial vetoes that did include some tax cuts, and he took some of the credit for it because that's what a governor gets to do. You sign the bill or you send it back to the legislature. Whether Republicans liked it or not, he's part of the process. If he weren't part of the process, they would have written it in an entirely different way. But that so incensed Republicans. Oh, my goodness. For 2 years now, they have just been tangled up in knots in anger that Governor Evers would take any credit for a tax cut that's in there, even though he's actually been pushing for years for a better tax cut than anything they proposed. Not bigger than what they proposed, but that's because, again, theirs would have gone to the very rich. The governor's would have gone to the middle class. So this time around, with a $4 billion surplus, I again say for emphasis, a $4 billion surplus. Why does he always say that for emphasis? Because as a legislator, at the start of the Great Recession, we had to deal with a $6 billion shortfall. So I look at these guys with their $4 billion surplus, and they can't figure out a way to pass a budget in record time that makes everybody happy. It is either hubris or laziness or arrogance to the hilt with these Senate and Assembly Republicans. And now they're walking away after months of negotiations. even after Governor Evers agreed to much of their tax cut plan. Because you see, because of their anger about the governor taking credit last time around, they were demanding that they take care of the tax cut part first before they take care of the spending side. They wanted to make sure that their fingerprints were all over any kind of a tax cut. Okay, the governor said, let's talk. And they did. And they, according to the governor, you know, did reach consensus. He was willing to compromise on their tax cut plans. Evers' statement says the concept of compromise is simple. Everyone gets something they want and no one gets everything they want. He said he had agreed to support the Republicans' half of the deal and their top tax priorities, while Republicans could not reach consensus within their caucus to back Evers' proposals. In other words, there was no negotiation. There was no compromise. There was, well, okay, thanks for inviting us to talk. We got what we wanted. Now give us what we want. You know, we're not going to take anything that you want, or at least come to any kind of a level that is remotely responsible. Because keep in mind, let's just talk about schools for a second. Public schools in Wisconsin have been underfunded compared to the rate of inflation for 16 consecutive years. And so then you see reaction, like, for example, the Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August had put up a tweet, something like, he was mocking the fact that schools and universities were needing, you know, at least $1 billion in new money. And again, he was mocking it with the hashtag not going to happen, hashtag tone deaf. No, Representative August, tone deaf is underfunding public schools for 16 consecutive years to the rate of inflation. So, yeah, no wonder the need for proper state investment is so high. And yet, you didn't have to give the governor everything that he wants. You didn't have to give schools everything that they want. You didn't have to give parents who are desperate for affordable child care everything they want. You didn't have to give away everything on your position. But the fact that with a $4 billion surplus, you couldn't even come close to a win-win on investing in schools, on investing in childcare, on investing in healthcare, and continuing to make sure that broadband internet connections expand throughout parts of Wisconsin, that you couldn't take care of getting PFAS out of our water, that you couldn't take care of our farmers who are looking for new markets at a time when their president is trying to put them out of business with this trade war. There's no victory lap for you to take walking away from the negotiating table. If you talked honestly to your constituents, honestly, they would say, compromise, reach agreement, find a win-win, stop wasting time. But they don't do it that way. And one of our listeners had a good way of putting this. I've seen it all the time. Here's Cassandra writing on YouTube. I got a survey from Representative Dave Murphy, and the way he asked the questions was so partisan. So, of course, people are going to answer the way he expects or wants, and then he'll take it back and say, see, this is what the people actually think. Yeah, there's something to be said for the surveys that lawmakers put out. They're not surveys, all right? They're PR pieces. If you have a point of view of what you want your legislator to do, whether it's specific or general, then reach out to them. Go to their town hall, if they have the guts to do a town hall, and tell them about the investments that they should make while keeping taxes affordable. Again, how about cutting taxes for the middle class? That would be a help. But in walking away from the table, it only extends the process, and it extends the division, and it extends the negativity, and that's been the Republican legislators' playbook all along. A little sports at 7:19. The Brewers took 2 out of 3 from the Cincinnati Reds. Isaac Collins belted the 3-run homer for the Brewers. Jackson Churio and Daz Cameron each hit 2-run shots. The Brewers have won now their 12th consecutive series against the Reds with a 9-1 victory. They are now off today as they head home for a long homestand. They will open up a weekend homestand against San Diego, coverage beginning at 6:35 tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And right now we're being joined by UW Extension's Tony Johnson, a new name to us around here, not a new company. We certainly are an organization. We work with UW every week. Love our friends over there. Appreciate Tony joining us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to be on the program and share a little bit about what we've got coming up with the Extension Forestry Program.
Yeah, you guys have some really cool events going on. We're going to get into that, wrap up letting you guys know how you can connect with the Forestry Department and everything. But Tony, before we do that and get into some of those things, I always like to put people on the spot. I mean, ask questions. I'm kidding, but we love to get to know our guests. And your first time with us here, wanted to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, sure. So maybe I'll just kind of go in reverse chronological order. So again, I'm a extension educator with UW-Madison. I do statewide forestry outreach, and my home office is at the Horicon Marsh Visitor Center down in Horicon, Wisconsin. So I've been working with extension for about 5 years in the forestry program and now the forestry and wildlife program, and doing a bunch of different private lands outreach. So I run the maple syrup program for extension. I've been doing a lot more agroforestry work lately, thinking about ways to incorporate trees into farming systems, and then a lot of work with private landowners and woodland owners around the state of Wisconsin. Prior to joining UW Extension about 5 years ago, I had a couple of different roles with the federal government doing conservation and ecological restoration. I worked with the USDA and the Army Corps of Engineers and the National Park Service all over the country doing different types of conservation projects and really trying to get that on-the-ground experience. Before starting with the federal government, I was doing my studies. I got an undergraduate here in Wisconsin at UW-Milwaukee and a master's degree in natural resources from Cornell University. And while I was out at Cornell, I really dived into the extension side of things. So with the idea of taking the resources and expertise that can be found on campuses all throughout the country and helping to bring them to the folks around, you know, in our case here, all throughout the state of Wisconsin. So I've been, like I said, with Extension for about 5 years and really kind of fell in love with the idea of what Extension does and helping landowners and addressing problems of the citizens that the citizens of the state have. And I grew up right here in Wisconsin in Sheboygan County, and it got to, you know, benefit from a lot of natural resources and outdoor opportunities we have here. And after studying botany as a undergraduate, again, I really just fell in love with the idea of using that science and education to really make a difference around the state. And yeah, that's a little bit of a background of, you know, kind of how I got here. And so I've got a bit of on-the-ground experience, particularly here in Wisconsin. And now I'm really focused on trying to connect landowners with resources and educational materials to help people achieve their goals for their land.
Tony, as we're getting to know each other here, I should warn you, as the audience well knows, you bring up maple syrup, and that's all that's going to be on my mind through the whole entire conversation. I'm just going to be thinking about that. And you also mentioned your roots there a little bit. You mentioned one of my favorite things to say, Sheboygan. I love saying the area of Sheboygan to town, everything. Any chance I get to mention Sheboygan, I'm going to say it because it's my favorite town to say. That's the easiest, the most fun entitled name to say of a town. But more so, wow, man, you have accomplished a lot. We are lucky to have you, not only on the show here, of course, but at UW. That's fantastic. Well done. And all of that said, I really do appreciate the breakdown of all that, especially with what we're talking about today. And it only makes more sense to be talking with you about this. UW Extension has some forestry events coming up over the next couple of months. And I believe it kicks off with the Forestry for Birds webinar, right, Tony?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. We've got a pretty busy calendar of events this summer. So I work on a team of educators that are all throughout the state. We've got, you know, five or six folks working on different aspects of forestry outreach. And we also do a lot of partnering with, like I mentioned before, some of our campus-based specialists at UW-Madison. But then for this Forestry for the Birds event, we're partnering with some professors at UW-Stevens Point, both in the Wisconsin Center for Wildlife and the Wisconsin Forestry Center right there in Stevens Point, to put on these Forestry for the Bird webinars that I'm really excited about. So just to give you a little bit of rundown on that event before diving into some of the other things we've got going on, this Forestry for the Birds event, the idea of it is to make that connection between forest management. So that could be thinning a timber stand or doing some invasive species removal or you know, some of these other practices that are common in forestry plans, and kind of trying to build the connection between those management actions and the impact on wildlife, specifically birds. So what we've got coming up this summer in partnership with, I mentioned, the Wisconsin Center for Wildlife and the Wisconsin Forestry Center, Jason Riddell, who's the director of the Wildlife Center, and then Professor Mike Demchek, who is with the Wisconsin Forestry Center, have been working on a grant over the last several years, a federal grant to put some of these management practices on the ground and then do some research around the impact on bird species. So they've been working for a couple of years doing working with students and actually doing the on-the-ground forest management. So thinning out stands and taking out dead trees and trying to get some of these management practices on the ground and then actually doing the research and training around the impact on birds. And what we're doing is we're partnering with them to showcase these demonstration sites and bring landowners in to see some of the impacts of management. So we put together a little series that's going to be running in June. It's going to kick off on June 6th with a webinar that's going to be free and open to the public. We're going to record that webinar and share it out after the events on our YouTube channel, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. But basically, that's going to be setting the table for these three field days that we've coming up in June. So in that webinar, we're going to be talking about some basics of forestry, some basics of bird habitat, and kind of the connections between those two topics. And then we're going to be talking specifically about the three different demonstration sites that we've got. So I'm really excited to showcase these demonstration sites because, like I said, they've been getting a lot of work on them from these technical experts.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Plenty of Wisconsin farmers still concerned about the tone that's been set with the Make America Healthy Again Commission report. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. One of those, Doug Rebout, he is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Rebout says that with more and more consumers generationally removed from where their food comes from, education is key.
We need to show them, hey, this is what we're doing. This is the money we're investing in technology, into our equipment, to make sure we are producing a safe and, you know, affordable product. And, you know, that's the big thing right there, that affordability. We need to make sure that, you know, what we're producing on the farm, people can afford to eat. And with these studies coming out, that's going to make it tougher. That's going to raise the price of food with these studies coming out.
Doug Rebout, farmer in Janesville, also president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, he said he is going to be watching reaction and progress from the Make America Healthy Again Commission report because he says, obviously, it could impact his farming future.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
And the Association of Equipment Manufacturers showing support for legislation that would establish a dairy innovation fund here in Wisconsin. The legislation would help small and medium-sized farms invest in next-generation agriculture technology that creates a zero-interest revolving loan program through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation that would allow dairy producers to upgrade outdated equipment, adopt precision agriculture tools, and modernize manure management systems. The bill right now has been introduced by State Representative Clint Moses from Menominee and State Senator Rob Staffschult from New Richmond. That's a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly to mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve-out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
President Trump is unhappy with the organization that helped him pick his Supreme Court justices. Jim Santel will be here to break that down. We'll lighten it up in hour number two with some weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Here's a reminder of this hour's keyword in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. The word is road, R-O-A-D. Text the word road through the Civic Media app and you're in the running for Brewers tickets. Club level seats, they are great seats. I've used these. You're going to want these tickets. But you're also in the drawing as well for the grand prizes, a lovely stay in Wisconsin Dells or in Door County. Details at Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. That again, you have till the end of the hour to text road, and then you'll have more chances to win at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover here with Congressman Mark Pocan, so let's just get right into that. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to have a lot to say about the Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle in just a sec here, but you did recently visit the Dodge County Jail, and I wanted to start by asking about that because President Trump has once again chosen to impose some kind of a travel ban, which seemed very serious in the first term. In the second term, it almost seems more like a diversion from all of the, you know, the heist that's going on in Washington, D.C. But a lot of people are getting caught up in this anti-immigrant fervor, including undocumented immigrants who, you know, may or may not have committed any crimes. But we don't know because they're not getting due process. One of them was actually framed by somebody else who committed a crime. And yet he, the victim, is still in the Dodge County Jail. And what was that visit like for what is also an ICE detention facility?
Sure. Well, and you're right. The best way to be a pickpocket is to divert someone's attention. So Donald Trump, while they're picking our pockets to pay for a tax break for Elon Musk and himself and anyone who could afford to go to Mar-a-Lago, we're loading things like, travel bans, et cetera. You know, the reason we went, and it's the only ICE facility in Wisconsin, it's at the Dodge County Jail to check it out, is because one, it's part of what we need to do for our oversight responsibility as a member of Congress, but also in New Jersey, they actually are charging a member of Congress who went and did that with some criminal laws. So, you know, I think in solidarity, many of us were like saying, all right, ICE is just a rogue extra governmental organization right now because they don't talk to us. And you know, we tried to reach out to him. We took the number off the website for the Milwaukee office. It's disconnected. So, we can't even get a hold of someone there. We did do a tour. The county sheriff, a Republican, a partisan Republican, but was very fair. I mean, he gave us a good tour. I think he didn't love that we were there. But at the same time, he was exactly what he should do. You know, he gave us a very polite, respectful tour. We saw conditions, I think, are you know, what we've seen in all the reports, they're really good conditions, and I think they run a good facility. The real problem was no one from ICE is there. About every 3 weeks they show up, other than to drop people off, and there's really no way to ask the questions we needed to ask about who's there, why they're there, what the due process rights, et cetera, are. And one of the people is a constituent of Gwen Moore's who, he was framed, but at the time they didn't know. Supposedly he did a letter threatening the President Trump. But, very quickly that story went south because the person's illiterate, both in English and Spanish. And this was a very well-written, very beautiful handwriting letter. Well, it turns out someone was trying to frame them to try to kick them out of the country. And they're still holding the person despite that. In fact, they're supposed to have a hearing yesterday and Gwen told me they postponed it. So she's going back Friday to talk to her constituent. But, you know, it's not so much the facility that, as you might expect in Wisconsin, we do things a little better probably than other places. But it's certainly ICE, you know, the fact that then the sheriff gave me his contact number for ICE afterwards, and I called, and I've yet to get a call back, and that was Monday. Today's Thursday. just shows you how they think they are above the law as an agency.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're really veering into secret police territory, police state territory, where people can be held behind bars without charges, and that nobody is accountable for this. And again, all of it to distract from the big bloated boondoggle that House Republicans passed recently, and it's over in the Senate right now. And now we're hearing from some of your Republican colleagues, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia being one of them, saying they didn't know what was in the bill before they voted for it. And I, you know, the title of this hour's episode, by the way, is Why Can't Marjorie Read? These are folks who loved playing this game when things like the Affordable Care Act was passing or any other big bills. But it turns out they're no different. When they want to ram something through, they'll apologize later for things that they didn't know were in it, but they voted for anyway.
Yeah, and every MAGA Twitter troll that has sent a message telling me I did the exact same thing with the Affordable Care Act, I wasn't in Congress then. So, you know, just...
There's that.
You can keep it coming, but I know reading is difficult, so we won't go there. No, this is the problem. You know, all the committees did this overnight votes. The Rules Committee met overnight. We voted. Some people are up for a day and a half nonstop doing the bill, and literally at the crack of dawn is when we voted on the bill. After an all-night session, if you saw members, we looked even worse than we do normally, you know, to see how tired people were. And now they're saying, oh, we didn't know what's in the bill. Well, no, you know, of course you didn't know what's in the bill. And another member from Nebraska said he didn't know about this courts provision was in the bill. And, you know, now we're finding out a lot of people are trying to step away from aspects of the bill. Well, I don't blame them. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff in that bill. If I was Derek Van Orden or Brian Stile or others in Wisconsin, and I voted for a $500 billion cut to Medicare. I voted to kick off 14 million people in the country from their health care, 11 million kids and others from food assistance. I'd be as ashamed as you can imagine as well. And then they won't do a town hall to talk about it. Look, the Wisconsin smell test, the most simple thing in the world. If you're proud of something, you brag about it. You don't hide in your basement and hope no one calls. And that's exactly what every Republican in Wisconsin is doing right now.
Well, without a doubt, and as people read it, even the world's richest man looks at this and calls it an abomination and looks at the amount that's being cut. Now, I grant you, Elon Musk and Ron Johnson and others, they're unhappy with it only because it would be better balanced if they would cut even more. Yeah. Okay. But at least they're making the point that way too much of this is going on the national credit card. Again, for people who lived to talk about how much is going on the national credit card, it seems like they feel the taxpayer can afford anything as long as it's something they want on the national credit card. In this case, tax cuts for the rich.
And now this, they're trying to present a big lie to people that no one's going to lose benefits and that this won't add to the debt. We had Russ Vogt, the director of the OMB, the architect of Project 2025, in my subcommittee yesterday. And he tried to say that again, like he did on the Sunday news shows. And I said, well, the Cato Institute, a Republican-leaning group, disagrees with you. Elon Musk disagrees with you. Senator Hawley disagrees with you. Senator Collins disagrees with you. Senator Rand, disagrees with you. Who else? There are a whole bunch of the Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan agency. The directors appointed by Republicans disagree with you. I go, are you the only one that's right? And he's like, yep. So, you know, they're just trying to put this lie out. A few people like Derek Van Orden probably fundamentally believe it. But, it takes reading a little bit and you can very quickly see if you cut funds, that kind of drastic cut, $700 billion from Medicaid, $300 billion from the Affordable Care Act, $500 billion from Medicare, people are going to lose care. And it's just common sense. And, you know, unfortunately, the Republicans are just trying to ignore that they took this vote, and this is going to hang on them well into next year.
And by the way, all the focus has been, much of the focus has been on Medicaid and to a lesser degree SNAP and other things. But Medicare is involved in this as well, indirectly, but still, if folks who are seniors going, well, I'm on Medicare, I haven't heard them talk about that, so I guess I'm okay. You might not be.
No, because of the PAYGO rules, and I won't go deep into the weeds, it triggers sequestration, which is taking back of funds, and it will require a $500 billion cut to Medicare. They could have took care of it in their overnight sessions, but they just didn't want to pause for anything. They just wanted to get this done so that Donald Trump had it by Memorial Day. The problem is every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted to cut a $500 billion from Medicare, and they didn't try to fix it along the way. So I would love to know who they think in Wisconsin doesn't deserve the money they've paid in all their life through their paychecks and their employers have paid in for Medicare, and now it's going to be cut. That is an unconscionable vote.
When we hear the talk about the deficits and the national debt and things like this, and I'm not looking that this will all be solved by you and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and things like that. But when you look at the graph of how much of that debt is there because of tax giveaways to the rich, it does make people like me feel like, well, what if we just took one of those basic wealth tax ideas that we often hear from the progressive side of the aisle, and how much of these debt and deficit problems could we address if we actually right-sized our tax code once again?
When you look at the skew these bills offer for the wealthiest, I think one analysis I saw about 40%, the bottom 40% of people are going to pay more under this bill. People in the top 0.1% do really, really well. Top 1% really well. Top 10% do well. But, you know, pretty soon real people don't get it. And then they said, well, they got rid of the tax on tips and on overtime and on auto loan interest and a tax cut for seniors. Well, those four that are for, I call real people, add up to 5% of the bill. So 95% of the bill is pork going to Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And, the rest of us get a little bit. And even then, scratch the surface, and that gold is fake that Donald Trump is putting on everything in the White House. Because, for example, the tax on tips, a third of people who are tipped or wage earners don't even make enough to pay federal income taxes. And of low and moderate waged workers, tip workers are only 5% of them. So you're ignoring the vast, vast majority of working folks. And then when it comes to overtime, there's a bunch of categories where you can't qualify. You're still going to have to pay your FICA. It's only on the overtime amount, not your regular pay amount. You still got to pay tax. And there's a whole bunch of asterisks that, it won't even fit on a sheet of paper. So a lot of these, and they're also temporary. Unlike the corporate tax cuts or the tax cuts for the wealthy are permanent, tax cuts for us are only going to last for a few years. So, this bill is the worst bill I have seen in over 30 years of being in Congress. And I can't wait to talk about it everywhere I can.
You've been in the Congress. You've been in the legislature. We talked in the last segment about the Republicans in the legislature walking away from the negotiating table with Governor Evers and Republicans in Congress trying to ram this through in one bill because otherwise they have to follow regular order, which could subject it to the filibuster and everything else. And yet Elon Musk and some others are now saying, kill the bill. But that would mean probably going through regular order. And I know I hesitate to ask anybody to make predictions, but your thoughts anyway on whether this bill does find some way to get modified, sent through the Senate and approved again by the House, or are we actually facing the prospect of, like the previous couple of years, we get to October 1st and there's still no federal budget?
That's somewhat of a separate issue from this, but yes to that question. I'm on our probes and we don't even have all the numbers and they're asking us to start marking things up, which is ridiculous. I think the Senate originally only had 2% of the cuts of the House. So there's a big difference between the two bills. Look, I wake up to bad choices and worse choices every single day. I'm all for bad choices. To me, a bad choice is stop the cuts to healthcare and food assistance and education funding from people. I think they're going to get their tax cut bill no matter what. There's unity on that. How they pay for it, it might just go on the national debt like the last time, which is not a good answer. But I don't want to hurt people right now. One out of three kids in Wisconsin who gets their health insurance from Medicaid, 55% of our seniors in nursing homes. I mean, those aren't the people that should have to pay for Elon Musk to be able to put more rockets into the air.
Well, like I've said, if it ends up just all going on the national credit card, they're just going to try to once again divert people in next year's election campaigns with all kinds of other mudslinging and try to get people to forget all about their pockets being picked. Congressman Mark Pocan, as always, we appreciate the update. Thanks for what you're doing. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Take care. Safe travels to you. Let's pause here, and then we'll have more coming up all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for being part of our mornings, powered by Up North News, here on Civic Media.
as Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shopping with your parents can be embarrassing.
Why would they sell jeans with holes in them? I'm going to speak to the manager.
Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies!
To...
How was shopping? Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids. Control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
Summer, summer, summer.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is
peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
When it comes to the this first webinar that we're talking about here, Tony, there's a couple of things that really stand out to me. And for a long time, working with UW Extension, Rachel Whitehair and some other natural resource educators we've been fortunate to get to know and talk about, we've really been able to, I think, dive more into some of these topics. Prescribed fire, invasive plant control, some of these different topics. One of the things that I found interesting, and I'll tell you right out the gate, Tony, I'm a city boy. A lot of this stuff is very new to me, but it's all fascinating and interesting, and I know how much our audience appreciates it. One of the things I've heard from the audience and more people talking about is the different types of people that would really benefit and enjoy this kind of webinar. There are certainly, as you mentioned, landowners in that. There's a lot of people out there that I think just are always interested and curious about the balance of nature and man and how we work with, business and nature and some of these, the world that we're in nowadays with a lot of that. And it feels like you guys get into those topics as well as plenty of other things with this webinar.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a great opportunity to showcase the impact of management. I think it's, commonly thought amongst, some folks that hands-off is the best strategy for managing some of these wild spaces, including woodlands, but that's not always the case. And this webinar and this series dives really concretely into, you know, thinking about goals. And if goals, your goals for your land include increasing, you know, certain types of birds, then there are things that you can do to have an impact on the habitat for those birds. So I would say, yeah, site tours and the webinars are really geared towards landowners and folks that, you know, have the ability to do these practices on their land, but it's open to anybody, and you can take some of these lessons back to, you know, even a smaller city lot size, you know, plot to think about ways that you can impact habitat and how that will impact the birds or other species that are potentially using that habitat.
The Forestry for Birds webinar is June 6th. It'll be going from 3 to 4:15. Be sure to register, and we'll again give you the website and the information of how to do that before we wrap up. We're speaking with Tony Johnson from UW Extension. Tony, I know you guys have some other summer events coming up as well.
Yeah, we do. Like I mentioned, we've got a team of educators all around the state kind of focused on different topical areas, and we got some really exciting programs that are coming up this summer. So first up, actually this weekend, we've got a women's chainsaw safety workshop, which is a course that's specifically designed to bring women into an environment that is conducive to you know, their learning styles and interests in chainsaw safety and operation. And it's a workshop series that we've been running at different locations throughout the state. I'm not sure if registration is full on that one. If you go to our website, woodlandinfo.org, and just look up our current events, you'll see the link to that there. But we will be continuing to offer women's chainsaw safety certifications in the future as well. So we tend to do those at agricultural research stations, and this upcoming weekend is down in Lancaster. A little bit later on this summer, we've got a series called Learn About Your Land, which is more of a classroom style learning environment where we have a series of classes on different topics for landowners. In June, we've got a series in Chippewa County. So three consecutive Tuesday nights in June, we're going to be coming together and covering specific topics in connection with DNR foresters. We also are offering a number of other Learn About Your Land series throughout this year. So in Grant, Crawford, and La Crosse counties, we'll be there in August. Shawano, Door, and Kewaunee counties will be there in October. And that's kind of our introductory series to help landowners and Wisconsinites get familiar with some of the forestry concepts and management opportunities that you'll have. Another really exciting event that we've got coming up this summer is in July. We've been running a series of webinars the last several years to try to connect new landowners with resources, whether that's extension, county, state government, nonprofit organizations, and just try to bring all of those programs, people, and resources into one room, and then invite new landowners to come and network and make the connections that make sense to them. So we, like I said, we've been running a series of webinars the last several years, and this summer I'm really excited. We're going to be organizing our first field day that's going to be in that same networking style. We'll have a bunch of natural resource and agricultural professionals coming out to the Sauk County Farm on July 19th, and we're going to be having a field day that's going to be really focused on landowners interested in getting started with stewardship and showcasing some of those resources that are available. So those are a couple of the upcoming classes just in the next couple of months, but we also have, as I mentioned, a couple other programs, including the maple syrup program. So really excited to connect with Wisconsin maple syrup producers of all scales, whether it's hobbyist or commercial operations, and would just encourage folks to check out our maple website, maple.extension.wis.edu. And we're going to be continuing to do maple outreach over the next year, and going to be looking for input on what that outreach could look like in the next couple of months. So I really encourage folks to just check out some of our maple programming, and the best way to do that is on the website. Also want to plug the Wisconsin Covert Project. So coverts is an old English word for like a covey or a brush pile where birds could live. Mm-hmm. And we've got a really, really cool program in Wisconsin called the Coverts Program. It's put on with Extension in partnership with the Rough Grouse Society, and it's an immersive weekend, full weekend program at Kemp Natural Resource Station in northern Wisconsin that's really diving into forests and bird habitat. And it's a totally free program sponsored by Rough Grouse and Extension. and just requires an application and then some expectations around sharing what you learn with neighbors after the fact. So if you're interested at all in wildlife and woodland management and you own some land in Wisconsin, I would encourage you to just Google Coverts Project, so C-O-V-E-R-T-S, and the application for that is due on June 15th. So that's another really great opportunity for landowners from Extension.
It is going to be a fun, busy summer for you guys at Extension.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's issued a proclamation banning travel to the U.S. from 12 countries. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
It targets people from specific countries in the Western Hemisphere, like Haiti and Venezuela, as well as places in Africa, like Libya and Somalia. There's also Afghanistan and others.
Mr. Trump's also blocking most foreign students from entering the country to attend his least favorite Ivy. Correspondent Nikki Batiste.
In a statement, a Harvard spokesperson called it an illegal retaliatory step in violation of the school's First Amendment rights and said Harvard will continue to protect its international students.
The president's also threatening the accreditation of Columbia University. Police in Washington state asking for help as they hunt for Army veteran Travis Decker, suspected of killing his three young daughters. Sheriff Mike Morrison.
We're not just keeping our focus here within